Blog Talk Radio.
Run that money counter, baby.
I just bust a jug in another nigga hood. I just bust a jug in another nigga hood. I just bust a jug in another nigga hood. I just bust a jug in another nigga hood.
Hey, who the fuck is Narcisse?
I just bust a jug in another nigga hood. I get a bag pretty much short, and I sell it for 23. These niggas don't want no smoke, they don't want no state beef. On my slides, make us suck me. I don't even know what I'm saying, many niggas hate me. I don't even know what I'm saying, many niggas hate me. They niggas can't get the vision, even if we're HD. I just bust a jug in another nigga hood.
Bust me a jug in another state. But my mama make every day Mother's Day. I don't know why these niggas, they love to hate. I'm the nigga that these niggas love to hate. I don't run the shit up, let me demonstrate. All you gotta do is just pay attention. If I don't fuck with him, he come around trying to buy something, I'ma remix him. Cause he fucked up my damn life. Give him a bad price, and it was satisfied. He paid it down high. You made your bet or delay in it, they paying the damn price. Shit could change up in a matter of minutes, call my rep, better act right. No, I'm not talking about IHOP, nigga, but I know I'ma serve that. I sip and I slow down time, cause I know I can't rewind. Bitches are staying around, I got me a jug outside. Ain't know I keep that nine, about to blow some out of town. Talking shit, then we blow
this
fine.
I just bust a jug in another nigga hood. I get the bag premature and I sell it for 23. These niggas don't want no smoke, they don't want no state beef. Gucci's on my slides, make us suck me. I don't even know what I'm saying, many niggas hate me. I don't even know what I'm saying, many niggas hate me. They niggas can't get the vision, even if we're HD. I just bust a jug in another nigga hood. Going A shit on that beat, it was made by Narcisse. Tryna push out all my whip, nigga, I don't need no key. Can't get these niggas no salt, tryna save my recipe. Got the Gucci flies on my feet, that were made of salt. Me. For doing all that talk, you had to show me. Cause the way the show do, now I'm rocking the shows now. That back end got me back in your town, but that shit we ain't back in town. I just bust a jug in your hood, that head goes now. It's about to cold down. I just bust a jug in another nigga hood.
I get the bag premature and I sell it for 23. These niggas don't want no smoke, they don't want no state beef. Gucci's on my slides, make us so weak. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Money, a whole lot of eyes, we ain't never gon' win her. Whole lot of money,
start talking that shit, we start sending them shots, and watch niggas gon' win her.
Banging for real in my hood. Got Crips, GDs, and Bloods.
MLK, bitch. I asked
what she wanted,
bitch.
She grabbed my dick.
I'm in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to In Black America Radio with your host, Rasta B. It is March 19th, 2021, and today's title will be a hot one. This title is called The Jewification of the Chinese Diaspora. Let me go ahead and get Smokey in here. Smokey there.
Yeah, man.
I couldn't even say that with a straight face, yo.
Oh, man.
I'm telling y'all, it's going to be a loud one. It's going to be a loud one. Buckle your seatbelts then, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be a bumpy ride. I'm going to let you know right now. And yeah, we're going to be talking about the Jewification of the Chinese diaspora. Because I already see the play. yo. And when I break it down, I'm going to see the people get what I'm saying. But before we get there and shit, you know what I'm saying? What's been going on with you?
Oh, man, shit. Feeling a little relaxed and everything, had the day off, you know what I mean? It's this time changed. I don't know. That shit was wicked. Like, it seemed like I was just off balance all week. But yeah, I was just resting all day. I was just watching a few things. I had watched that 4-hour joint, that Justice League joint. That shit was pretty good.
What's up?
Yeah, on HBO Max, they got a Justice League movie with, you know, Batman and all them niggas. And shit, that shit like four hours, yo. But that shit is hot, yo. I can't front.
Okay.
I peeped that. And I peeped Troy Ave's little, his, I don't know what you want to call it, but his reality show or whatever. He got a few episodes up on there. But outside of that, I just been, you know what I'm saying? I just relaxing for the day and shit. So I saw the title, like, all right. It's one of those titles. Friday.
You know what I'm saying? I told you, it's going to be fire, yo. It's going to be
more fire.
Smoking on that Jack Carrera, man. So that title's courtesy of that Jack. You know what I'm saying? I'm twist up another. But damn, so me, I'm basically home alone and shit, you know what I'm saying? My lady, she with the with my son and shit. And Disneyland, you know what I'm saying? So
well,
she out there and shit. Yeah, so she out there.
So you dolo.
You know what I'm saying? Chilly chill. So,
no doubt, though.
So, you know, I'm calling shit. So, you know, we all talking and shit like that. So she you know, these crackers, you know what I'm saying? They showing their ass. So I'm like, well, what happened? So she telling me the story. So she like, you know, they inside the pool and shit. And she noticed that the lifeguard who white, he fucking like take a little glimpse and shit at what Ross and what my son's them doing, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm like, so then she like, so the other day did she go out there, whatever, but her phone was dying. And so she went inside to charge her phone, but she watching them from the hotel room or whatever. But they like on the first floor. They like
through the windows and shit.
Yeah. Now, here's the irony. Irony is, I said to her, I said, yo. Because when she said, yeah, you know, we're going to go to the pool, I said, all right, you know, when I go to the pool, I said, yo, just make sure you ain't got your head all in your phone and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, pay attention.
Right, right, right.
You know what I'm saying? And she's like, oh, no, because my screen's dark and I can't see anything anywhere. But it's like, yo, I be saying these things and motherfuckers don't be listening. Pay attention. But what happens with a lot of black people is some of us get around white people and we feel comfortable. And me, I be like, nah, when I'm around white people, my guard's up. I'm extra. I ain't smiling. I ain't happy looking. I'm fucking stone faced. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in the fucking hardest ghetto in America. You know what I'm saying? That's how I am when I'm around white people. Because I'm like, shit, hell no. I ain't feeling comfortable around y'all like that. So, she like, so when that happened and shit, the white boy walking shit, and he walking towards my son and shit, and he like, you know, this is according to my son, you know, how old are you? So you tell him his age, 1-8, 1-6. So you're like, oh, y'all got to come out the pool and all kind of shit like that.
Right.
So as she's telling me the story, I'm thinking to myself, like, so when the fuck was you gonna fucking intervene? You know what I'm saying? So she's like, yeah, I'm just watching it, seeing what's going on. And something else I used to always tell her. The difference between me and you is you would wait until the car wreck before you say, I should have drove better. Where me, a little swerve in the car, I say, yo, let me straighten up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All it takes is little, once I get a little whiff of the bullshit, I'm on point. Where it's like she'll just keep letting the bullshit linger. And it's just like, I don't understand that shit. So she's saying that. So now when she get out there, she's like, yo, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? And they like, oh, well, you know, you got to be 12 by yourself. She's like, they're not by themselves. I'm watching them right here. So then he like, so he ended up leaving. So then somebody else ended up coming towards her. And they're like, hey, how you doing? You know, I'm just, you know, talk to everybody, you know. So then she's like, you know, he asked her, like, questions indirectly, though. Like, trying to be friendly, but asking questions type shit. And she's answering the questions, and then he leaves and shit. And he's like, oh, you know, he talks to everyone or whatever. And I'm telling her, I'm like, you don't answer questions all in general. When white people or anybody want to question you about some shit, you don't answer their fucking questions. You throw the shit back at them. You don't answer no fucking question. And so she says, they're going to say, oh, you got to be 12 years old to be in the pool. You know what her response was supposed to have been? Show me that. Show me the paper. First, you look around and make sure there ain't no signs around here, right? All right. Show me that. Show me that. Show me where the age is that. Let me see that. Where the age is, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's what you do. You don't answer them. You don't entertain them. Prime example, Smoke. When my oldest son was born, right, we were inside the hospital, and they got all these fucking gadgets all over him and shit, cords and all kind of shit. But when he was born, now if you listen to previous shows, I says the whole story. This is just a very, very short story. He was born healthy when I was in the hospital. When I step out to go back to work, next thing I know, now he has these conditions. So when I get there, I'm questioning these fools down and getting all these so-called conditions reversed. And then it got to the point where he was hooked up to some heart monitor shit. And I'm like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? So I start taking these shits off of him. When you do that, it ended up having a beeping noise, which alerted the nurse to come to the table. So she asked, who's taking it off? I said, I'm taking it off. She said, why? I said, because you ain't explaining to me why you got it on. once I said that, that's when it was round one, fight. That's when it was that. So then she said, well, if you don't, no, I said, she was like, well, if you don't want to, if you keep taking it off, I want to call police or defects or something like that. And that, but what happened was they were trying to kick me and my girl out, not kick us out, but, you know, give us our walk-in paper so we could leave but keep our son. And I was like, hell no, you're not about to do that. Then I was like, so then that's when I told her, I was like, listen, call police, call defects, and give me my paperwork so I could leave. Because what was it, you know, I told her I'm not scared of police, you know, all that little dumb shit. But what I didn't do was curse and get all loud and belligerent. I was mad calm. She was throwing her passive aggressiveness at me. I was throwing my passive aggressiveness back at her. So then she left, came back, and then she was like, so did you make your decision? I said, did you call the police? She was like, no. I said, did you call DFAC? She was like, no. I said, do you got my paperwork to leave? She was like, no. I said, can you go do that so I can leave? And that's how you handle them. You don't handle them by engaging. Because when you engage with somebody, I'm now bringing you into my world. You see what I'm saying? If I go to you smoking, I'm like, if you like, I'm dissing you. I'm calling you all out your name and shit like that, right? I'm trying to instigate a fight. Now, if you ignore me and you get inside, now, as long as I don't put my hands on you, if you ignore it, you jump in your car and you drive away, person was trying to do, that shit fails and crumbles. And he's left there looking stupid. But if you stop and you be like, you know what? I'm about, now he got you. Now we got you into your game. Another story about me with white people. I was at my girl's parents' house, right? They lived around a bunch of rich whites. So I go to the grocery store across the street, a Publix. So I'm walking inside, I'm looking for some damn veganaise, because, you know, I'm a vegetarian. So I'm like, you know, I've never been inside here, so I'm looking around and shit, and I'm like, man, where the fuck this shit at? And you already know me, Smoke. If I'm telling you I'm inside this place looking around like, where the fuck are, I'm obvious looking around like, yo, where the fuck is, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not even trying to be calm walking in there like that. So I'm looking for my stuff, and for what I'm looking for, and I notice every time I go into an aisle, I'm seeing this same white broad. Right? And, like, he always stacking some shit. So I wait till I got to the end of that shit. I seen and I was like, yo, I need a loaf of bread. Excuse me, you work here, right? So she's like, yeah. I said, can you give me a loaf of bread? So she's looking like, oh, motherfucker, but she has to because it's Publix. I let her go and get a loaf of bread. I walk, cash out my shit, and I leave. Send your ass to work. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how you handle them, yo. You don't sit there and get upset. Because that's, and the reason why I do that now is because I grew up under that Jesse Jackson bullshit where, and we all did, really, you know what I'm saying? Where if a white woman, if you walk past the car, white people lock their doors, you should be offended. Why the fuck am I offended? Because you nervous. Why should I feel away because you scared? Like, get the fuck out of here. But they taught us that. They taught us that. If white people feel a way about you, if white people say, I don't want my kid playing with your child, I should feel a way. How? I don't want my kid. I mean, you're a fucking weird-ass kid.
If you're in an institution, like you in a store, or you in a business or some shit like that, it's rules and shit. So if you got people that's doing something that's outside of the guidelines, like, for example, you know, to use your example, you said that, you know, wifey was there, she, you know, that example. And, you know, the lifeguard said the policy was 12 or whatever. What if that ain't the policy? You can't exactly. Do that to people. You know what I mean? Exactly. That's discrimination for whatever reason. Now he telling you that. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that is punishable in court, and you can hold them responsible and be rewarded financially. So when you're in situations like that, it's best to use your... You know, to just
legal,
just be logical. Be like,
use your legal mind. Use your legal mind. Don't use your racial mind. Don't use your emotional mind. Use your legal mind when you're dealing with white people, because that's how you deal with white people. Now, she said after that happened, some other person come up there, like I said, asking the questions, right? I told her, when that person came up to you, what you should have said to yourself is, and who are you? And why are you harassing me too? See that word harass? That's what you're supposed to use. You harass it. And then I told her this. You're supposed to say, you're the second person today to be harassing me. You're the second one to be harassing me. Now, I done labeled you into a group. You think he nervous now. He's like, oh, shit, I was just talking to Smoke like, I'm like, yo, what happened to you, Smoke? Yo, man, I had to damn tell them fucking black kids over there to get out the damn pool. Now the mama came out and shit. Can you go over there and make sure everything's smooth? All right. And then I walk over and I'm like, hey, how you doing? She like, I'm like, harass? How the fuck I get caught up in a harassment situation? I need my job. You know what I'm saying? Sally just got a baby. I need my job. Damn, Smoke, you done got me caught up in some fucking harassment shit now. That's what would have happened. You got to know what to say. Harassment. You're the second one to harass me. The first one is the white boy right there that you just finished talking to. Yeah, he's the first one to harass me. You're the second one. Who else want to harass me? And now I'm feeling threatened. Now I'm feeling away. This is how
because
you
that happens to us all the time. That's how it works.
We're
on the black side of the world, so we know how it works. Somebody slights you, and then you go buck. buck, and then you done lost your whole shit. You end up going to jail. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? When you had a legitimate case or a legitimate reason. So it's like you get baited into that. And, you know, that's one of the points that I wanted to make towards this. You know, during the Asian hate shit, you know what I'm saying? And I'll just say it right now because I'll forget, but don't be getting baited into
say
that
shit. Say it.
Don't get baited into this shit. It's a narrative that's floating around, and we know how it goes. So don't be a pawn. Don't be a pawn and be a part of this shit. So, in one of our older shows, we spoke on, I think it was one of those Chinese leaders. I forget who he was. He was basically saying that China's going to be more emboldened and taking over the world.
Yeah.
So this could be one of them little small plays in they plan.
It is a play.
Don't be a part of it. Don't be a part of it.
The
easiest way, like. The examples that Rasta B was just giving involved being in establishments. They'd be in businesses. You know, that was at a hotel. Yeah, I paid for the hotel, right? It was all paying hotel, right?
Correct,
Okay, so you paid to go there, right? So most of our interaction with Asian Americans or whatever, Orientals, whatever, is in their businesses. So the easiest way to not get baited into this type of shit is to stay out of their businesses. It's an easy time. They're waiting on stimuluses. It's about to be a recession. A lot of shit is crazy right now. So you need to save your money anyway. So don't be part of the play and get baited in with situations like that where you paying your money to go into these spas or these nail spots or whatever, and then you get baited into whipping somebody's ass and being part of the narrative of Asian hate. So, that's what I want.
Yeah, because it's all exploitation at the end of the day. And that's what's happening and shit. Because let me see if I have anything else to say with that story. So at the end of that shit, it's just like, see what I'm saying is, as black people, we need to start really taking this shit called, like, this is what I tell my sons, y'all. You got to take this shit called life serious. Stop looking at your historical op, so to speak, for the youth, right? And wanna fucking lay down your sword and shit when you're around them, because the media and society tells you these are nice communities and these are nice people, and look how white people are just having fun. I wish I was there around white people having fun. And then every time your black ass get there, you never notice how much you don't have fun. You never know what's that. But we always keep thinking it's so much fun being around them. No. And so I had a whole talk with my son about that, but I'm having to get it more verbal once I see him face-to-face again. But I'm on the phone, and I'm like, yo, you see, I walked him through the whole event again. And I was like, yo, and how you felt? Did you see them? Did you notice the white boy walking up on you? What you was thinking when you seen him walking up on you? You know what I'm saying? Let's go through the whole event. Because this is a learning experience at the same time. So when you hear me talking to you and you hear me preparing you for certain shit, you understand what it is. I'm not one of them parents that's going to sit over there and tell my son, oh, everything is sweet and shit like that. I'm going to tell him the fucking real because I don't want him shocked. If anything, I want him to be aware and say, at the very least, I want him to be aware and be like, oh, dad's full of shit. I don't think it's that bad. And then he's like, oh, shit, it's really like that. That's at the very least. He's like that.
It's just that those are just small plays that play on kid confidence. So they over there just playing or whatever. Now he come over like, basically like, y'all ain't supposed to be over here. Get out of here. You know what I'm saying? That shit start playing on the kid confidence. Now he's openly looking like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be. You know what I mean? And shit like that where it's like, yo, you're a kid. Just go play. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. So, yeah, I mean.
I'm telling you, you gotta do that because what happening is a lot of times, especially when it comes to black people, what we don't realize, black people, we don't realize that nobody gives a fuck about our story. People that give a fuck about our story and our suffering and our plight is black people. Nobody else gives a fuck. What happened is it's a good story. You understand what I'm saying? It's a good story. It's like if you listen to white kids, if you heard white kids right now, they're like, you know, they don't give a fuck about black people. Fuck niggas, all that bullshit like that, right? But they listen to that King Von and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? You think they donating to their families and shit and doing, you know, like, they don't give a fuck about black people.
Yeah,
listen to the music. I
like people care about
the
black story, like you said, the story. You know what I mean? Because people can use that story. They don't care about people. They don't care about black people benefiting off of the story. Because that story is supposed to be one where black people are supposed to be redeemed and paid. You know what I mean? They want to use that shit for they shit.
But they
just
shit.
Basically they pull the black out of it and insert themselves into it. So that's like just one of those stories that anybody could use and shit. You just change the characters around. You know what I'm saying? So that's the only thing people care about. They ask us like, hey, yo, how you deal with this shit? All right, thanks. And then they go do that shit.
Yeah.
They don't care if black people. They don't care if black people benefit. They just want to see the game plan, see how to work it, and then go work it, and they get the benefit. They're not using us for us to have some type of benefit in the end. You know, we're not gonna get the. We just getting our story is just it, that's it. You know what I mean? It's not no benefit for
you
us.
Know,
it's just our story. That's it.
See,
they use it for their cause.
That's because that's supposed to be our story. Our story is supposed to be beaten and downtrodden. And can't advance and racism and police brutality and high mortality and high criminality and we're supposed to high gun violence. That is supposed to be our story. Everybody else is above that story. So when they fall victim to those stories, they get to cry and everybody feels sorry because what they're basically saying is, oh, they're not supposed to be treated like niggas. They're not supposed to be treated like niggas. Let's elevate them. Now, what happened, you know what I'm saying? Now, what happens, because even when it comes to the COVID shit, they got a lot of stories that came out where they were saying how Native Americans and shit, they was on some shit like, damn, we not really being fairly counted. The COVID-19 deaths and you know, saying like catching it and all, well, really the deaths and shit like that, because a lot of them are labeled white when they die, right? Then I'm listening, I read another story. A lot of Asians, right? Their numbers aren't correct. When they die, they're listed as white. And I start to notice Arabs the same way, listed as white. Now, we all know this, right? We all know this. But look how the story come out, the COVID-19 happened, and now we're talking about representation and funds and allocations. Now what happens? Hey, the Chinese community is not getting anything. Right, because you're labeled white. The Native Americans aren't getting nothing because you're labeled, because y'all benefited off of being white in this country. And then now that you're not getting none of them allocations through funding and things of this nature, now you want to scream about your group, and now you're like, I can't believe I was labeled white. I didn't. No, see, we don't look at the truth in these stories because we're too fucking emotional, right? Now, let's start to get into this Jewification of the Chinese diaspora. You ready for this?
Yeah.
So, oh, well, before I get into that, let's get into some of these stories real quick. So we got rapper Little Mama, right? She doubles down on transphobic comment and say she will start a heterosexual rights movement, right? So Little Mama, the rapper behind the hit song Lip Gloss, said in an Instagram story that she is planning to start a heterosexual rights movement, alleging that straight people face bullying from the LGBT community. The story, which says the movement will be called Anti-LGBTQ Bullying, comes after several previous transphobic remarks from the rapper. Y'all fight so hard to be replaced, to be respected, and some of you, not all, get a kick out of bullying people for having an opinion, how they dress, how their hair and or makeup looks, how much money they have, etc. She wrote in Thursday's story, which remains on her Instagram Friday afternoon. Little Mama, whose real name is Who Cares, claims that straight people are afraid to be honest about their opinions, because if they do, the LGBTQ plus will hear what they want to hear and take statements out of context. She said that she is not trying to hurt anyone. I'm just speaking my truth, just like you all. So they don't really get into, yeah, to really what she said or whatever. They saying like some old, they saying like when she was on American Best. Huh?
Yeah, she had, they got the quote right here. She said a tweet in one of the tweets, so children are too young to smoke cigarettes, too young to drink alcohol, too young to get a driver's license, too young to go to a club, too young to gamble, too young to rent a car, but old enough to cut off their genitals and or change their gender. This is insanity, America. And the post came shortly after Michelle Obama's interview with Zaya Wade, Dwayne Wade, and Gabrielle Union's trans daughter. And this was from Complex Mag.
That's accurate. And that's the opinion. And my thing is this. The funny thing about it being Little Mama is, you know, everybody used to call her Bow Wow. And then when she was on Growing Up Hip Hop and shit, she looked like she was hitting on Charlie Baltimore's daughter, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I mean? But point and still, it's for real though. It's like, what are we talking about? We're talking about children now. We're not talking about what a grown ass woman or a grown ass man choose to do. You're now talking about children performing certain acts, And the funny thing about it is I don't got enough memory on my computer right now. So I had to buy me some more damn memory. But I was trying to post up another one of the shows, right? It was the show right before you you and the Somali dude start arguing and shit. But it's the one before that show about the homosexualization of America, right?
Right.
We're talking about that shit. And damn, it's funny because I was, you know, I got to listen to some of it so I can post, you know, if I want to post different slides or whatever. And they was talking about how there was a part in there, we, you know, reading it, how they want to normalize their behavior. They want to push their shit into society and change it and make everybody accept it and bow down to it and all of this shit. And when you look at it, it's the same shit. But like I said a couple of weeks ago, the only way wickedness reigns supreme is when righteousness doesn't stand up. That's it. When you stand up to bullshit, bullshit crumble every time. Every time. You know what I'm saying? Same shit like I'm saying with the Disney story. Once you see the bullshit, that's what I told my girl. When you sit in there and you see, because see, this is the problem with black people who smoke. This is a misconception of black people. The biggest misconception that black people have, right? We think that we're lions. Biggest misconception. We think that we're lions. We're not lions. We're gazelle. That's what we are. We're gazelle. We're not lions. So what happened with us is because we keep being told that we're lions, it's a bunch of gazelles roaring at motherfuckers and getting slaughtered. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't want to follow the rules. We're not lions. We're gazelles. Positioned for lionhood. We're not in that position. We're in the position to move in packs, drink in packs, eat in packs, and when we see danger, run. That's what we're in a position to do. That's it. But because people keep telling us, yo, we should be roaring with the lion. Now you see a whole bunch of us walking in packs and shit, and when we see the lion, we over here staring the lion down. The lion roar, we roar back. And then when this motherfucker chop our head off and shit, you know what I'm saying? We like, yo, that's the real nigga right there, yo. Hell, like, we don't get it. We don't get what's going on. I told my girl, I said, when you was there and you saw them fucking white people and shit like that, you should have already been on your P's and Q's. And when you looking and you seen that white boy walking in the direction of your children, you should have already walked out. You should have been walking too, looking at that motherfucker like, say something. Say something. Because the parent right here, you know what I'm saying? Say something. Yeah, go walk your ass back upstairs. And then you turn back around and go over there. Fuck out of here, homeboy. We don't play that. See, but the difference between me and her is I didn't grow up like that. I grew up understanding the game. You know what I'm saying? First time I had to run from police on horse, I was 7 years old in Prospect Park. You know what I'm saying? Police is on horse. You know what I'm saying? Me and my little brother. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we already grew up with understanding what it is between black and white. You know what I'm saying? But the thing when it comes to black people is we don't want to protect ourselves on the strength of really what it is. We want temporary symbolic goals. We want to be accepted. But what we don't understand is when these Latinos come inside here and they begging for these rights and all kind of shit like that, they're not begging to be equal. They're trying to dominate. When these gays and shit is over here changing rules and laws and want to inject all their fucking weirdness onto the masses and shit like that, they're not doing that to be equal. They're doing that to dominate. when these agents is pushing this fucking weak ass narrative of now the agents are under attack and all kind of shit like that. All of this shit is for dominance. All of this is for dominance. You don't understand it, so let's break this shit down.
Yeah.
So now, before we get into the Asian attacks, we have to know what PI means, right? And that's the Asian American and Pacific Islanders, like, synonym or whatever, right? That's their group type shit, right? Let me see. Yeah, group. Community, yeah, that's it. It's a commune. That's what I'm looking for. Because they kept on saying that on the news. They kept on saying the AAPI community, the AAPI community. And I'm like, AAPI, what the hell do that mean? So that's the Asian American Pacific Islander community, right? Okay. Now that it's a community, it has to be a community. Because what none of us realize is everybody figured out one thing watching black people. How the fuck these niggas is wasting all of this fucking opportunity that they have. I'm not speaking as a black American. I'm speaking as a foreigner. Right? All this opportunity that they have and shit like that. And what do you keep hearing on TV? Black people are the largest voting bloc, the second largest voting bloc in America. Black people are the second largest voting bloc in America. Black people are the second largest voting bloc in America. So then you know what other groups started to do? They say, yo, we're never going to have power in this country until we have a large enough group to sway the political machine. So then they started to create these groups like the LGBT. That's why they keep on adding different fucking letters to their weirdness. Because it's not enough for them. It's not enough for them. So what they do is they cling on to groups to help usher their agendas in. So now you have the AAPI group, the Asian American Pacific Islanders. Okay. So now I was looking at something and we've seen it go what's the shorty name? Mindy Kank Kling or whatever. She was talking about the whole Asian American shit too, right? So I'm trying to see, can I find her thing? She's like, that's Wing. The Mindy Project, Mindy Kling said, enough is enough regarding the rise of anti-Asian hate speech and violence, she posted. The targeting of the Asian, of our Asian brothers and sisters is sickening, but not surprising given the normalizing of anti-Asian hate speech in the past year. Right? That's her now talking, right? So the reason why I brought her up is because, hold on. I want to see something real quick. Mindy Kling. Because I remember her brother had got into an HBC claiming to be African American because
yeah,
I don't know what she, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So That's funny that, like,
they was living in Nigeria.
You said who? The parents met
in Nigeria?
Parents
is living in Nigeria. Yeah, I'm just looking at the wiki joint, just like scrolling through.
But she's Indian, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, from Mumbai.
So she's, all right, so
wait,
she's Indian, right? Probably old bleach face Indian and shit, because she one of them.
She was born
Indian.
Here, though, in Massachusetts. Her parents is.
But her parents
are from India. And they met at a hospital working in Nigeria. So they was traveling from India to Nigeria working. That's how they met. But shorty, she's born from out here.
But she's
American.
Indian, though. No, I'm
right.
talking about
right.
Like, ethnic. Right. She Indian,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All right. So she Indian, but then she's like, what? Oh, the anti-American Asian stuff is sickening and the tax and all kind of shit, right? Why? Because they're saying Asian, anti-Asian attacks, right? And a lot of times they'll say India and they'll say Asia. And then when they say Asia and Asians, they would include India, right? Now, I brung that up because, where is that? Because, oh man, I had this too. I must have clicked it off by accident. But I had a story and shit I wanted to read. I should have saved the story, but I just had the, I thought I just had the window open. But it was about how, basically in a nutshell, China and damn Japan beefing. They got hardcore beef, okay? Hardcore beef because of that World War II shit and what the Japanese did to Chinese.
And I did find that story of her brother, Mindy Kaling's brother.
Yeah. What's that story?
He fake. This is from CNN from 2015. Mindy Kaling's brother, I faked being black to get into medical school. Actress Mindy Kaling's brother said that he posed as a black man years ago to get into medical school at the time of, at medical school, and at that time experience opened his eyes to what he calls the hypocrisy of affirmative action.
Wow.
He said on his on his website, almostblack.com, the revelation comes as Vijay Chokhal Ingham, who is of Indian descent, is pitching a book about his experience as a hard-partying college frat boy who discovers the seriousness and complexity of America's racial problems while posing as a black man. On his website, almostblack.com, Chokhal Ingham says he hatched the plan in 1998 after realizing in college that his grades weren't going to be good enough to get into med school as an Indian American. So I shaved my head, trimmed my long Indian eyelashes, and applied to medical school as a black man, he wrote on the website. My change in appearance was so startling that my own fraternity brothers didn't recognize me at first. He said he joined the organization for black students and applied to schools using his middle name, Jojo. The plan has some drawbacks, who describes himself now as a professional resume writer, interview coach, and graduate school application consultant. Cops harassed me. Store clerks accused me of shoplifting. Women were either scared of me or couldn't keep their hands off me, he wrote. What started as a devious ploy to gain admission to the medical school turned into a twisted social experiment. And then they try to say, he had a 3.1 grade point average, wasn't good enough as an Indian. And he's pretty much going on saying, basically that was his play. And now, at that time, that was 2015, he was coming, doubling back and going to make a book about that shit. And they got a picture of him, you know, how he looked with his Indian look, and then he got a shaved head on the other side. Which, whatever. Shit crazy.
No,
there was an article by Michael Pearson, 2015.
See, the whole point of bringing that up was because that's literally, that's the most literal sense of someone using blackness to benefit into this country and just, and don't give a fuck about black people. And then his sister turns around now and she's a fucking weirdo, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, with the whole Asian shit, that's why she jumping onto that shit. What the fuck do Indians have to do with this? Indians ain't got shit to do with this. So why are you jumping into this? Oh, because it's Asia. It's that group shit again. You understand what I'm saying? And that's her being like, well, I'm Asian too. I'm Asian. You know what I'm saying? That's like Amanda Negra or whatever, and then you got a bunch of Latinos, something happened to Latinos and shit at the border and shit, and they're like, oh, look at, and she's like, oh, my people, and it's just like, are you serious? You know what I'm saying? Like, you're reaching, shorty, you're reaching, you know what I'm saying? You know exactly right. Who the fuck they're talking about, you know what I'm saying? And you jumping over there, and you know them people don't even fuck with you like that. So then, And I brung up the Chinese and Japanese shit, that they beefing and shit like that. And I wish I could have found a part where some Chinese dude had to resign for making some racist comments and shit about a Japanese winner. They call she was it's something done with the Olympics. They called him like a it's something done with the Olympics. Yeah, but the whole point is, so ain't no Asian because Japanese would be considered Asian, right? Nah.
I mean, I was.
No, that's what I'm saying. Them Japanese and them Chinese don't fuck with each other.
Yeah,
So what are we talking about, really? What we're talking about is, and this is what I mean with the Jewification of the Chinese and the diaspora and the whole play with the Xi Jinping or whatever his name is, right? Here's the story right here. European spies are alarmed after scientists with top secret clearance was caught working for China, right? Intelligence officers around Europe were alarmed by the news that a prominent scientist was convicted in the Baltic state for spying for China. Sources who spoke with insiders say the case is part of a long worrying trend of China attempted to infiltrate institutions across the continent, in some cases supplanting Russia as their most obvious adversary. The prompt was the sentencing by Estonia of Tarmo Kutz, 57, to 3 years in prison. Kutz had close ties to the Estonian military and worked on multiple sensitive projects per report. The arrest and conviction was first reported by the Daily Beast, blah, blah, blah. Okay, prosecutors say Kutz began spying for China in 2018 and was arrested in secret last September. In secret last September. He had received about $20,000 and several luxury trips, according to the accounts provided to the media by Danish government officials. Insiders spoke to three European intelligence officers, two from Western Europe and one from the Baltic state, all request anonymity and anonymity, as they did not have permission to brief the media, blah, 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 blah. So you got the, all right, so they say in February, Lithuania announced a ban on the use of Chinese security software contractors. Around the same time, Estonia officials warned that China and Russia posed compatible threats. An official in Belgium told insiders, it's been building for about 5 years. We first saw a giant uptick of activities in Brussels as it was obvious that China EU mission was being used to cover used as cover. So they was using the EU, European Union mission to cover up spying. So they went there to spy, and they used that shit. So all this shit, they just showing how this, these motherfuckers out there spying on Germany, everybody, right?
Everybody.
Everybody. So, and the funny thing about this shit is this. Now, the people that got shot was Chinese. And as the story keep pushing on, it's going to be Chinese. It's not going to be Asian. It's not going to be Indian. It's not going to be Pacific Islander. It's going to be Chinese. And then when it's Chinese, then it's going to be nationalization. So now you're going to have all these Chinese spread out over the world, connected to a strong, unified, strong, economically unified China. And that's true because it was already said and understood by, in one of the shows we talked about that. Some Chinese dude, I think he was dealing with some type of cryptocurrency or some shit. And he was talking about how many Chinese is over the world and shit, they just... If there's a billion Chinese people outside of China, all spread out around the world, and they all use this one currency that's connected to China, there is no dollar. There is no peso. There is no nothing else. Because guess what? If you want to get anything, you're going to have to use our currency now. We had a whole show about that. We talked about that shit.
Yeah, and so then they're selling products, you know, a lot of her products, you're going to have to buy it too.
Yeah. See, but look how black people getting racially discriminated against and killed by police and all kind of shit like that. And when that shit happened to us, what we end up, yo, buy black, support black, don't support those who don't support you, all kind of, it's more of a rally, right? But we don't got no economy to rally behind, right? Imagine the Chinese doing the same shit. Imagine the Chinese doing the same shit since they running around and they like, oh, we being attacked and all kind of shit like that, right? So guess what they're going to be saying? And it's not now. This is what we don't realize. It's not now. It's going to be their, it's their children. If the Chinese kids now is going to be growing up and they're going to be like, yo, we ain't going to be dealing with that. So guess what? They're going to be the ones that's going to nationalize. They're going to be the ones that's going to be like, fuck America. They're going to be the ones that's like, yeah, I'm from here, but shit, I'm connected to back home. You know what I'm saying? I'm connected to over there. See, we don't get to play. We don't get the game. You need blood. That's where the connection comes from. Connection comes through the blood. You got to sacrifice. You need them Chinese getting killed and stabbed and shot up and all kind of shit like that. Because if you don't have that happen, then how do we grab tragedy? Through tragedy is unity. See, if I go and I tell a bunch of Chinese in the diaspora, hey, we need to stick together as Chinese, they're not going to do that. A lot of people may not do that. You know what I'm saying? But if I show you Chinese being attacked, then I can tell a Chinese anywhere in the world, we must unify and stick together. This cannot happen to us. The same way how the Jewish people do. Right, Smoke?
Yeah, I mean, they changed the narrative.
They changed that. That's what I'm saying.
It changed the narrative. You know, it make it more serious. It become life or death. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They showing joints where the guy got pushed down and died or, you know, different little things or whatever. You know what I mean? It's like life or death. So it's like somebody seeing that is like, oh, no, our people getting slaughtered. Nah, I got to take this serious. You know what I'm saying? It's not just like a... you know, rob the pizza man type thing. You know what I'm saying? So it makes it, there's like a sense of urgency. Like a sense of urgency. Once that's attached to it, then it's like, you going to have people that want to back that cause, you know what I mean? It's like they feel it, you know, it's their duty to do that, you know, as a agent or whatever.
Yeah, and let me tell you what Roland Martin say. So Roland Martin, he going to say, and you got black folks saying, stand up for us when we dealing with, you know, our issues or whatever. And to them I say, I don't care. I don't care what nobody do for me. I don't let that, what somebody don't do for me don't dictate what I'll do for them. Some weird shit like that, right? And I'm like, see, that's black people's problem. We would help the people. Motherfuckers don't care about what's happening in your situation. That's your fault. And then when it happens to them, you want to go and help them. So you help them rebuild.
Open.
Your shit's still fucked up. Like, that shit's dumb. Don't even make sense. But then he got another clip where he talking about we shouldn't support business if business doesn't support us. And I'm like, but didn't you just say you don't give a fuck what somebody does for you? You were still doing it. I said, boy, this Boulé shit, man. These Boulés, they talk out of both sides of their mouth, and that's how they confuse us because they don't want to talk on that truth. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to talk on that truth. That truth and that reality is this is just a psych ops. This is just a play to galvanize and unify the Chinese people of the diaspora. That's all that this is. That's all that this is. But we don't see that shit because we ain't unified within ourselves. But think about if Africa was strong and Africa was the number two economy, the producer was, you know what I'm saying, and everything being produced in Africa. You know what I'm saying? And Africa is the second fucking economy, and they're building cars and computers and people out here buying African products and all kind of shit like that, and they're about to surpass America, right? And white people over here talking about go back to Africa. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be looking at white people like, yo, fuck you, goddamn right, I want to go back there. Fuck you, cracker. Like, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be walking with your Africa shit on proud and strong. Because you know you connected to a fucking economy. And not only that, because maybe in the beginning you might be like, nah, I don't know. Let a couple of cops start killing blacks. And then when cops start killing blacks, and then you see Africa like, hey, America, if you kill another black person in America, we doing a tariff on you. You can't get no product. And that stops some of that killing of blacks. You telling me black people not going to be like, you damn right, we African. You know what I'm saying? Shit, because now somebody got my back. Somebody got my back. You know what I'm saying? Them Chinese is going to, this whole play is to unify the Chinese diaspora. In the same way how when it comes to the Jews, a Jewish person, a synagogue could get shot up in Italy. Them niggas locking down shop everywhere, right or wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Think about that. It's a call of alarm.
Yeah.
It's a call of alarm.
So basically you got two groups that's arming up.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know what I'm saying? Latinx.
Latinx
yeah,
is another one.
What was that? AAPI.
No. AAPI, That's just the umbrella. That's just the springboard for Chinese. They just grabbing all these people just to be like, look, we got a little number. But the Chinese, they really going to shake them off and be like, nah, it's Chinese, yo. Get off me.
Right. I feel you, son. That's a total group. But so we'll call it the Chinese diaspora, basically. You know what I mean?
It's just the Chinese diaspora, yeah. But they're lining themselves up to be a special class where you ain't gonna be able to talk nothing, say everything gonna be sensitive when it comes to Chinese and shit.
And
like how it is with Jews, huh?
And a voting block.
And a voting block. Because guess what?
With protection. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Because, see, what happened is what we don't realize as black people, we just sitting on our ass watching everybody go past us. That's it. Instead of saying, yo, what the fuck is going on? Well, the reason why we don't say what the fuck is going on as black people is because when we wanted to say what's going on, white people started screaming what's going on. You see what I'm saying? They started being like, you know, what the fuck, the foreigners and the fucking chinks and the... So then people, we like, damn, we don't want to sound like them. What is going on? Like, what the fuck is going on? Where the hell is all these jobs? Why are we getting, you know what I'm saying, we're not getting these same benefits and opportunities and shit. But if we say this out loud, then we're going to sound like these crazy-ass crackers. You know what I'm saying? So that's why we silent and we don't say shit. But in all actuality, as black Americans, you should be saying to yourself, where the fuck is my economy? Why the hell are these farming groups building legacies off of our dollars by serving us greasy-ass chicken? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, people saying that if you watch social media, you watch shit like that, it's like our people are saying it. It's just that we don't control the media. And that's the number one weapon that in this whole shit we're talking about. That's how people spread their message. So when we go to the media, it's not black on, it's not black shows, you know what I'm saying? And the ones that are, they on smaller platforms. So it's like you ain't getting the message out. You see this? We saw the Asian hate. You seen it one time. It's like, oh, that's interesting. And then it's everywhere now. It's like you can't go a day without having an article on that. The Compax Mag or, you know, somebody is, like, actually highlighting it. And this is everywhere. But it's through the media. It's not like, you know, the Chinese guy at the store is like, man, what's going on? Yo, we've been getting attacked. It's not like you see hearing this personally. You know what I'm saying? You're just seeing it on the media. You know what I'm saying? You're seeing it on television. So it's like, we don't own any of that shit. So it's like we don't – if we had a network and we had black skewed messages and shit like that, we'd be talking about it. But we don't own it. That's basically how we're being attacked is through that shit.
This is a story right here. While everybody keep on talking of, oh, the Asian this, the Asian that, right? It was late on March 3rd when Deja Smalls stopped at a Chevron station in Houston to pump gas. Her one-year-old son, Legend, was buckled in his car seat in the back. And Ms. Smalls said she was in the front seat when a man wielding a gun suddenly ran up to the car and demanded that she get out. Ms. Smalls, 19, screamed at him that her baby was still in the back. She said she could see police cars and hear sirens. Then she heard gunshots. The gunman was dead, but the police had also shot her son in the head, the Houston Police Department said later. As of Thursday, Legend remained in critical condition in pediatric intensive care, recovering from surgery to remove the bullet that had struck him. My son had been fighting every day for his life, and he's struggling on his own to breathe, Ms. Small said during a news conference on Tuesday with her lawyer. My baby didn't deserve this. My baby didn't deserve to be shot. The Harris County District Attorney Office, the Police Department Internal Affairs Unit, and the Special Investigation Unit, and arm of the Department Homicide Division are investigating the shooting. Only one officer fired his weapon, Ms. Silver said. The police have identified him by his first initial and last name, E. Garza. He is 38 and was sworn in as an officer in July 2006. He had been placed on paid administrative leave. Troy Finner, the executive assistant chief of police, told reporters on the night of the shooting that he had spoke to the officer. "We're all praying for that baby. He's deeply concerned and hurt about this baby." Chief Finner said that the officer and the partner had gone to the scene that night to protect lives, not to hurt anybody, and that's tough on him right now. They say the gunman was identified as Broderick Woods, 33, by the Harris County Institution of Forensic Science. He was a suspect in several aggravated robberies, the police said in a statement. Officers tried to pull him over that night when they found him driving a black Mercedes-Benz. The suspect drove off and the police pursued him, leading to a chase that ended when the man lost control of the car and crashed into the gas station. The officers then saw him run into Ms. Small's car, according to a statement by the police. The officers surrounded Ms. Small's car and ordered Mr. Woods to drop his gun to show his hand. He refused, the police said. Art Ace Vito, the chief of police for the department, said in a statement on Tuesday that the officer fired his gun because he feared for the mother's safety. Wow, that's comedy. The police administered first aid to the baby and Mr. Wood, the police said. All right, so then that's the story. So, yeah, so with that story right there, right, and this is like this March 18th. That story, that's yesterday, right? But he was shot probably like 2 days ago or something like that. March 3rd. Yeah, so this all happened on March 3rd, right? Story is this, Smoke. We still getting fucking shot and all kind of shit like that by fucking police. But what I noticed, you're never going to hear it's a pattern. You're never going to hear this anti-black. You're never going to hear that. We have right now, Smoke, in Georgia, they're reopening the Kendrick Johnson story, which is the young man.
I mentioned that last week, I think.
Yeah. I mentioned that because the NAACP out there and the SCLC out there sided with the goddamn police and said that basically the story is true, that this fucking high school kid crawled in a fucking mat that was vertical. So you're telling me this high school kid have no fucking sense, right? And this mat was rolled to a point where it was open, where this kid decided to. Like the whole story in the NAACP.
He could knock it over if he slid in there. He could
knock
it over. Knock
the shit down and unravel the fucking shit and get your goddamn shoe. The end. You see what I'm saying? But you can tell black, anybody would believe that shit. Anybody would believe that shit. You know what I'm saying? So now they're running off of a tell that there's an audio of someone confessing to killing Kendrick Johnson. And that's why the whole case is being reinvestigated and stuff like that. It was an audio that was in the FBI files, I want to say.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm saying it correctly. And the whole point is, black death in this country never connected as not hate crimes, a pattern or nothing like that. Like, for example, during Barack Obama administration and all of the, like, when it was a very high uptick of police killing unarmed black men, you never seen, oh, this is a trend. No, you used to literally hear them say these are isolated incidences.
These are
isolated incidences. Every day you're hearing unarmed black man killed by police, unarmed black man killed by police, unarmed black man killed by police. These are isolated incidents. And you're like, oh, word? So why am I hearing this so much? Why are we acting like there are different races of people being killed? It's the same fucking race of people getting killed. You had the doctor dude. He goes out there to talk to the fucking his patient who have a mental episode. I think he's autistic.
Right.
He lays down and tells the fucking police, I'm a doctor, you know what I'm saying? This is my patient. The fucking doctor, fucking police shoots him. He said, why did you shoot me? He said, I don't know. Hands up and everything. So hands up. I'm doing everything you want me to do. Still get shot. Why you shoot me? I don't know. But you don't see no legislation for crimes against black people. Nah. Because we're not connected to an economy. What we have is make-believe. You know if you got smoke? I'm gonna bring you back to another old show. Remember when we was reading the slave narratives? The enslaved narratives?
That was like 3-4 years ago. Yeah.
And they had the parts where they used to be like, they were talking about one woman talking about when she was getting married, and she was like, she got the drapes and borrowed this and ooh, it was so nice, and they was able to play like it's marriage time. You know what I'm saying? That's how black people are still to this day. We're playing games. We're dressing up. We're acting like we're doing something with all this symbolism and fake power and all kind of shit like that, and we have nothing still. And now we're watching other fucking groups rise above us. This is the shit Claude Anderson was talking about. This is the shit that when you heard people back in the 80s and shit saying, yo, time's almost up for black people. Yo, if we don't get our shit together. Yo, if we don't get our shit together, it's almost over. Yo, the time is ticking, black man. You better get your shit together. Don't you know? This is what they're talking about. Because during those times, it was still black and fucking white. You see what I'm saying? It ain't black and white no more. It ain't black and white no more. See, the Jew ain't playing buffer. The Italian ain't playing buffer. You know what I'm saying? They not playing buffer. They doing new shit now. You know who want to play buffer? Chinese. You know who want to play buffer? Gay. You want to know who want to play buffer? Latinx. That's who want to play buffer. And guess who they want to play buffer for? The white man. And guess who they separating the white man from? Your black ass. That's what's happening. And why you got people and shit like that, like Roland Martin and shit, running around telling black people and shit, and I'm still going to deal to speak out against Asian violence. I'm still going to do it. Shut your ass up, man. D.L. Hughley and shit like that getting mad because the dude on Craig Facts show, DeJuan, he like, yo, y'all here caping for these damn Asians and shit like that. These motherfuckers was just kicking black women ass the other day. Just kicking black women ass the other day. These motherfuckers out here right now is wiping out the Uyghur population. Right now, disrespects blacks in their own country with darky fucking, toothpaste or some shit like that, and their fucking blackface shows they have over there and all kind of shit. And then they get roughed up and shit like that because that's what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And now everybody want to start crying for Argentina.
But see, I think the major issue is because it's like, you know, black people, we be empathetic to people, you know what I'm saying? Whatever, you know what I mean? But the problem of it is that the Asian hate is literally being pointed at black people. It's not like it's an overall shit that's look, happening like not, in America. Look,
not after Atlanta.
Yeah, but like I'm gonna mention that because see, like the Atlanta story, they trying hard not to make it a hate crime. They trying hard to keep it in the narrative of it not being a hate crime. Meanwhile, you have the little, you know, the situation where it was like a 70-year-old man got pushed down in Oakland, and they want to make that a hate crime. You know, the lady that got robbed from her store, you know what I mean? They want to make that a hate crime. Meanwhile, you got a man that killed 8 Asian people, and they doing their hardest to keep this story as a he just went crazy type story. You know what I'm saying? Instead of him being, you know, basically a hate crime. 8 times. So it's like the narrative is being pushed towards black people. And so when you hear stuff like, you know, like you just mentioned D.L. Hughley, those guys like that, it's like, you know, they caping for this shit with, you know, the stories of those previous incidents with, you know, the hair shop owners and beating on black women and doing like, we've seen a bunch of them stories. So you got that. But then on top of it, it's like somebody that look like him is who they trying to say is perpetuating these crimes. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a double dose of shit. And meanwhile, the people that run the media, we got a natural situation. We got a situation that everybody gonna look at like, oh, this man was hunting down these ladies in Atlanta. He went and killed all these. That's obviously you got to prove to me that it's not a hate crime. You know what I'm saying? And they're doing their best not to even tie that together. Meanwhile, they're taking small stories of, aggravation. Because they, you know, in one of the stories, they, I don't even mention the white guy's name, but they were saying he had a bad day. So why did this person have a bad day that pushed down the old lady or whatever?
Yeah.
No, that's a hate crime. But meanwhile, somebody committed a crime that resulted in the death of 8 people. And they not tying that as a hate crime.
Nah, because you got to understand how the game go. The game go like this. If the dog bark at the moon, that ain't nothing. But it's something if the moon bark back at the dog, right? Now we saying something, right? Black people didn't create racism. Black people didn't create racism. White people did. So what happened is when the black man pushed the Asian down or fucking, you know what I'm saying, rob an Asian or some stupid shit like that, first of all, the whole putting the battery in the black man back to attack the Asian, we can only attack the Asians because the Asians is in our community. So you put the battery in the black man back, he attacks the Asian, he's going to get them high jail times because throwing them numbers at black people don't mean shit. But guess what? Asians not going to be, let's stop saying Asians, Chinese is not going to be safe. They're still not going to be safe. They're still not going to feel safe. They're still not going to be protected. So then it was like, let's throw that battery in the fucking white boy back, and let's get them into the mix, and maybe that could drum up the tension we're looking for. You had one white boy try to fight some damn Asian woman, and the Asian woman boxed his ass up, and then you get this damn white boy here, he shoot up a whole bunch of motherfuckers that shouldn't need massage fucking parlors and shit like that. And, yeah, they fighting not to throw that shit on as a hate crime because put it as a hate crime, that shit is going to – now it magnifies everything. You see what I'm saying? And once you magnify it, guess what? Biden right now is in talks with China to do some negotiation deals. Guess what type of shit that China's using right now? Or the quote-unquote anti-Asian crimes and speech and rhetorics that's coming from in the last past year, like one shit I read. So that's the type of shit that's going on, because it's a power play. It's a power move. The reason why black people don't get it, because we're not strategic. This is all a power move and a power play. Because now America is at the mercy of trying to appease China because of what's going on. Oh, I apologize, and I hate that this is happening to Chinese American, and I promise you that we'll get to the end of this. Yeah, guess what? Now, and we're in the middle of negotiation. I'm negotiating. I'm going to use the anti-Asian bullshit going on in your country as leverage. We don't get it. When two elephants fight, the grass suffers. Go ahead, Swamp.
Nah, that was real, man. That was real. It's just like we like the small pieces in all of this shit. We pawns and shit. It was like sad and shit when you know everything.
Oh, wait,
like
not to cut you off. Not to cut you off. This is one more thing I wanted to say too, just to add on to the whole point too. Here's another one. YouTube pick, now watch this. An intensely racist segment on Steve Crowder's YouTube show, which was taken down by the social media giant earlier this week, right? They said that according to posts on Medium's One Zoom Vertical by Willie Orimus, who contacted YouTube about its Tuesday decision to pull down the show, in which he viciously attacked and mocked African Americans and slavery, using long-standing racist tropes about drugs and alcohol use. Now, this is YouTube. We removed this video for violating our COVID-19 misinformation policy, which prohibits content claiming that the death rate of COVID-19 are less severe or equally as severe as the common cold or seasonal flu, a YouTube spokesperson told Orimus. But the shocking smear Crowder and his co-host trafficked in did not turn afoul on YouTube terms of service. Our hate speech policy prohibits content promoting hatred against groups based on their race. While offensive, this video from the Steven Crowder channel does not violate this policy. So what this dude said didn't violate YouTube's policy. YouTube took it down because of what they said about COVID-19. I'm trying to see, can I find some of the comments that he said. It said, in what he billed as a lockdown anniversary show, first flagged by Media Matters, Crowder accurately previewed the show tone when he warned he might get a little bit nerdy. It's also going to be wildly offensive. Minutes later, Crowder brought up President Joe Biden's COVID relief bill, which included a $5.2 billion provision for black farmers. Another $5.2 billion is set aside for other farmers who have faced systematic racism and been traditionally excluded from past government subsidies and assistance programs. Crowder called these quote-unquote reparations for colored farmers, quote-unquote, and the conversation quickly devolved from there. After playing a segment from the liberal radio show Democracy Now! Explaining the policy, Crowder mocked the Biden plan by putting up a spoof of the famous painting, American Gothic, that had an apparent gangster as the husband and a ski mask-clad accomplice as his wife. This kicked off a round of vicious mock black accents and occasionally vulgarity. that one of Crowder's co-hosts made light of slavery by suggesting black people wouldn't want to be farmers in the first place. From there, the toxic sludge of a conversation moved on to playing insulting the intelligence of African Americans by mocking their supposedly favorite liquor brand. Finishing up, Crowder joked about meth containing contaminating the soil of the African American majority city of Detroit. Yeah, I want to find out more of what was said, but again, that don't get flagged on YouTube. You understand what I'm saying, Smoke? That don't get flagged on YouTube. If you said a quarter of that shit, remember what Little Mama said about the trannies and how much flack she got? But the little bit of shit that I read, you basically in a nutshell know the flavor of the soup. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know the flavor of the soup, and they like, okay, well, this is what's in it. You're already like, oh, that type of soup. Okay. They over here talking about playing games. Guess what malt liquor black people drink, and they don't want to be farmers because of slavery. Can you imagine if you take black out and put any other group? You see what I'm saying? But we don't get that. We don't get it. Nobody gives a fuck about black nothing. They use the black story to catapult their story. We're just a trampoline board. And we're thinking we're important because we got motherfuckers jumping off of us. But we don't realize we ain't going nowhere. Everybody trampolining off of our asses, but we ain't going nowhere. Everybody jumping up and down, getting higher and higher. They going to the next levels and shit like that. Nobody reaching down and pulling our asses up. They all using our shit. You know what I'm saying? So when the fuck is going to be our time to realize, nah, man, we can't get the fuck off the emotional shit.
Or... That's fact.
Yeah, get off that emotional shit, yo.
But yeah, what was I saying? Yeah, I got this article though too. But it's more of a highlight on, you know, how it shouldn't be important to us. I mean, it's kind of highlighting all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? But this is from The Guardian. Black and Asian unity, attacks on elders spark reckoning with racism roots. So it's a recent article. Actually, from February, last month, February 21st. It's a pretty long article, so you know, it's a good read, though, but I ain't going to read the whole thing. But it starts off, a 91-year-old man shoved to the ground in Oakland, California's Chinatown. A 50-something woman thrown into a set of newsstands in Flushing, Queens. An 84-year-old man fatally assaulted in San Francisco. A recent spate of violence against Asian elders has left many Asian Americans across the country feeling targeted, wondering whether these are random acts of violence or fueled by anti-Asian violence. The attacks have shaken Asian immigrant communities already struggling after a year of pandemic-related challenges, including racist taunts of Kung Flu or China virus, and economic devastation for Chinatowns and other immigrant communities. And 4 years under an administration whose trade war with China fueled xenophobia. And I speak to the war you were talking about earlier. Some, including Asian movie stars and celebrities, have called for a greater recognition of racism that targets Asian Americans. Some have demanded quick police action, and some have pointed the finger, not at the white political leaders who trafficked in xenophobic rhetoric for another minority group. The suspects in some of these attacks were black men, and some Asian Americans have responded with stereotypes of their own, blaming supposed anti-Asian sentiment from the black community for the crimes. This narrative, which has not been supported by evidence, has nevertheless showed a new wedge into age-old cracks between black and Asian immigrant communities in the U.S. People want to have a black villain and scapegoat, said Carol Fife, a longtime San Francisco Bay Area activist and Oakland City Council member who is black. People are right and justified to feel beset upon because Asian folks are othered in America, but you can't fight racism with racism. And so they had like another further part in there where they talk about Chinese activist named Max Leung. And so just going forward, they say, before last year, Max Leung centered his advocacy on anti-black racism. He was jailed after protesting against police brutality and went on a hunger strike in solidarity with the Frisco Five, who demonstrated outside the Mission Police Station, demanded justice for people of color killed by San Francisco police officers. But now he finds himself struggling in discussions with scared Asian elders and survivors of trauma, asking why they're being targeted, and specifically now why they think they're being targeted by black people. And this is a quote from Max Leung. No matter how you bring it up, the Asian community gets silenced and that frustration becomes internalized, Leung said. What about us? What about our frustration and our issues? You can't be anti-racist without also acknowledging the Asian American experience. So basically, you know, they want to have that as, you know, basically Asians need to be part of this racism talk, you know. So, and that was normally something that it was the dynamic of black, I mean, you know, white and black was racism in America. And now it's like, nah, we want part of this too. And then we see all the other shit that we discussed on the back end shit that they're doing. So it's being blamed on us. So it's not just like, you know, we're reading it like, damn, that's messed up. You know, shit happening to Asians. But then the finger's being directly pointed at you. You black man.
Black man.
We
got to
really understand that we need to be paying real close attention to what we're doing.
Yeah, because see, we don't understand how the shift goes. Because see, we want to be dominant for the wrong reason. That's why I say we can't worry about the wicked. You got to stand on your righteousness. You see what I'm saying? And your righteousness got to be gangster. You can't be tolerating no bullshit. You know what I'm saying? When you inside your community, real spit, you ain't supposed to be even fucking supporting no damn Chinese. They don't support you. Go in their neighborhood and see how many of your stores in their neighborhood. And then go in your neighborhood and count how many of their stores in your neighborhood. Then you'll understand how this game goes. We ain't supposed to be supporting them. Let them run out of bread and come out the community. Let me tell y'all, we got to go back into some real shit. I'm going to go deep into this buying business shit in a couple of years from now and shit when I get me a couple under my belt. But if you can't start it, just buy it, Joe, because a lot of these businesses are for sale. That's how these foreigners come up in your community. Because you live in a community, don't even know half the shit in there, even the stores you spending your money in, half them shit's for sale. Half them shit's for sale. Then another group of people just get a loan, and then they damn buy that fucking business, and then they just making the payments and shit off of your purchases. And you walking inside there and shit. and they stressed out how trying to pay this fucking high ass fucking mortgage and shit. And then hurry up, get out. That's where the disrespect and all that shit come from. You know, they don't respect you because you just fund. They wish they could get the money that you have, that you're wasting. It's time for us to really take this shit serious, man, because now I can't say, oh, time is almost up. No, time is up. I'm going to tell you how much time is up, Smoke. Time is so up that I told my girl, I was like, yo, I'm not doing all this shit for black people. Like, in the sense of, oh, I'm trying to lead black people to this promised land, and hell no. Time's up. It's too late for all of that. I said, I'm building my legacy with my family. You know what I'm saying? And having them strong enough for when the tide comes, they could be on higher ground. You know what I'm saying? There's no time to keep talking. It's time to get on higher ground. Whoever's on the bottom, I feel sorry for you. Whoever's on the bottom, I feel sorry for you. Because if you thought it was hard, yo, we're not even the second largest group in America no more. We're the third. And then once they give these Latinos amnesty, guess what? We're no longer the largest voting bloc. So if you're not the goddamn, that's like literally, because it's not going to be the Chinese and the whole thing. It's not going to be the gays because they're small. But they got all of these Latinos coming inside here to be the buffer between white and black. And Biden said to you, y'all better get cool with these damn Latinos because they're going to be your new masters. And they're not going to be your new masters, black people, because they fucking a lot. Like the lies they used to tell us back in the day. Remember how what they used to tell us, Smoke, before the internet? Before the internet and shit? They used to be like, oh, the reason why there's so many damn Spanish people, because they get pregnant so easy. if you look at a Spanish girl, she just gets pregnant. If it's a pregnant, everything you turn around, they pop them babies out. They pop babies before they turn to it. Yeah, and then we find out.
No doubt.
Yeah, then you find out, that's not true. That's not true, because them niggas got to eat just like you got to eat. No, they're sending them over. They're sending them into the country. That's why their numbers is increasing. But what happened was, here go black people, Smoke, because we're not dumb. We're just naive. We're not dumb. We just live in a fantasy world instead of living in reality. But we're not dumb. Right. At him, we said, yo, Smoke, is it me? Or is it these Latinos? It's a lot of Latinos now. This block used to be black as a motherfucker. Like, where all these damn Latinos come from? And he's like, well, you know, man, you know what they say, man, about some Latino women, man. He's like, well, nah, I don't. What they be saying? They be like, yo, they be fucking, yo. Like, shit, they fertile as a motherfucker.
Yeah, they cracking.
You know what I'm saying? So now you leave and I leave, and I'm talking to my woman and shit, and I'm like, yeah, you know what they say about them Latinos, right? They be out here fucking. That's why there's so many of the goddamn Latinos here. So then my children hear me say that. And then they go out, and then this narrative of Latinos is just pouring in because they're fucking. But we never think to ourselves, if the reason why Latinos population is increasing in the United States because of fucking, then why do you niggas don't be speaking English then? How can they even speak English yet? How everybody don't speak that shit? That's because you're being imported in. You're being imported in. Chinese, imported in. Indians, imported in. like everybody's being imported in. So if they're being imported in, guess who's getting a short in the stick? Black people and white people. That's who's getting a short in. The poor whites and the blacks. Because you know what they're doing? This is what black and white people doing, Smoke. Black and white people, they on the ground wrestling with each other. Calling each other niggas and crackers. Talking about...
getting our clothes dirty.
That's all we're doing. We wrestling and fighting about equality and the fucking white man choking us out, talking about no nigga, piece of shit nigga. And we fucking rolling, choking out the white man like you cracker motherfucker. You will respect me as a man. And Gaze is over here putting up the drapes on the wall, and the fucking Chinese and shit is sitting down in the fucking Oval Office and shit, ready to run America. And the Latinos is building the border up to keep the black people from crossing over to the white side. And we just wrestling with the fucking white man and shit. And once the fight's over, he'll be like, all right, black man. Okay. You know what? You win again. You win again, black man. We will give you reparations. Okay? Here's your reparations. And then they're going to go right over that border. They're going to give us reparations. And they're going to be like, now, ain't no more affirmative action and none of that, okay? Y'all niggas got money. Y'all just figure out how to live life. Y'all can't cross this border. I'm telling you, man. They built this. Yo, remember what I told you a couple of shows ago? In New York, when the Range Rover was driving and ran over those bikes, the bikers, and those bikers was hitting on the glass, and they ran it over. When they pulled the dude out, everybody was shocked at what happened, the way the car ran over the bike. They were shocked how they pulled the man out and busted the glass. I was shocked that it was a Chinese person driving a Range Rover. That's what I was shocked at. You know what I'm saying? I was like, a Chinese person driving a Range Rover? When I seen that, that's when I said, wow. Their next generation, they're getting stronger, and they're going to be ready for the takeover. Then I start to hear them say shit like, we need them and Latinos. So they started to talk together. Because, again, when you don't got the numbers, you have to work together. But y'all both working towards power. We're the only dumbasses who want to work for equality. We want to be equal. I don't want to beat you in a race, Smoke. I want us to come in as a tie. No, motherfucker, I want to win. You know what I'm saying? You want to tie. Like, you want to be in a draw. No, man, fuck out of here. You want 10-10 and everybody just put the ball down and say, let the clocks run out.
Equality.
We're cool with the score. It's all equality. Yeah, that's how we are. You know what I'm saying? That's why we don't get it. I'm watching them sit there with the vote and shit, saying we're gonna get more of us out here to vote. So, cause we need to have a voice in this country too. You know why? Because when you're a child growing up and you're listening to the shit, a lot of immigrants. This is how the game goes, Smoke. When you are immigrant and you come into this country, right? You come into the country like this. Fuck black people. Because I don't want to be connected to none of that fucking poverty, negativity, crime, and violence and shit. I want to be around the whites because they're safe and they're nice. Then you get around the whites and realize that they're fucking psychotic. You know what I'm saying? So then you end up being like, yo, fuck them white people. I don't know. No. First you'd be like, I'm trying to get along with these white people. Is it me? And then you start to hear black people. And you start to be like, wait, they get it. They understand what I'm going through. And then they start to connect to the black energy and the soul, so they don't want to be a part of white. But they're not black. But they're going to take the essence of black. And you notice that with the Asian. You notice that with the East Indians. You notice that with the Latinos. You know what I'm saying? They'll do that. They'll take the essence of the black, but not the black. Because they can't fit in with white, so they're not going to box in with the white.
Black.
So they'll take the essence of the black, though, and they'll do everything that we do, but it'll be like, but fuck y'all, though. Fuck y'all. But we going to do everything else, you know what I'm saying? Like what y'all do, because we don't want to identify as white, because we recognize that y'all don't fuck with us. You know what I'm saying? But then what black people messed up at, because when we see this, we're like, oh, they down. Cool. These Latinos is cool. These Chinese is cool. These Arabs is cool. These people is cool. But when you go to their neighborhood, they help wanted side is in their language. Help wanted is in their language. Help wanted isn't in English, so these cool ass foreigners can hire your black ass. No, them Chinese got it in their language. The Jews got it in their language. Everybody got it in their language. Latinos got it in their language. Everybody, East Indians got it in their, everybody got it in their language. So then when things happen to them, because the reason why they study black is because we done fought with this white man already. We done fought and got lost. So all they did was study our shit, study our culture, study our plight and shit like that, did our marches and shit and seen what worked. And they said, let's use that shit to further our cause. And we're so fucking dumb that we sat there and said, yeah, you should do that. Yeah, let me show you, give you the cheat sheet. And if you say that, say this. And then they like, all right, thanks, black man. And you going on your journey. So now they going on their journey and shit. They end up building their own fucking political fucking powers and shit. And then what we want to do is guilt them. See, this is the trick of black people. We do that sucker shit. And then we guilt them. Don't forget, Indian, I'm the one that looked out for you. He's going to feel guilty. Right? But he's going to feel guilty, that Indian. Don't forget, Chinese, I looked out for you. And that Chinese, they're going to all feel guilty. The gays, all of them going to feel guilty. But you know, well, let me put the gays out because they don't have children. But, no, I'll put the gays in. And they're going to feel guilty. But what's going to happen is the next generation. And then the next generation you're going to kick in, right? And then you're going to be like, hey, Chinese, remember, we put that work in. And you know what that Chinese is going to say? I wasn't a part of that agreement. I didn't ask y'all for nothing. This doesn't have anything for y'all. They're going to play that game with us. How do I know that? Because that's what the immigrants did in the 70s. The immigrants came into the country. They got their stores and shit, the Chinese and shit like that. Some Latinos and shit, when we was kids smoke, you can go inside there, they'll be like, oh, they'll try to teach you Spanish and the Chinese them. They'll, you know what I'm saying, be cool and all kind of shit. By the time we got the teenagers and their children got older to run them stores, hurry up and buy. Talking shit to you, yo, yeah, all right, get the fuck out of here and all kind of shit. And you're like, damn, these niggas mad fucking rude and shit. Yeah, because in the beginning, they're dealing with your father them. And they're like, yeah, this generation here, I can't do nothing about because we came in there too early. They're already aggressive. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach my children what to do to stand up against their children. So then by the time my kids get older, they'll be tough enough just like them. And that's what happens. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I'd be like, we don't get that shit. Because we sit around and shit like that, and we keep on trying to pacify our sons, body, and anything that they want. We don't build our children up to be dominant like the Nigerians do. See, we talk shit about Africans and all kind of shit like that because we're envious. when we scratch our head and figure out how the hell these black motherfuckers is have their kids in greatness, but my black ass can't do it. You know what I'm saying? And that's because the Nigerians is coming inside the game and shit like that on some dominance. That's how you win. Black Americans, the reason why we don't got the dominance, because we want to be white. That's our culture, unfortunately, is a culture that is predicated upon fighting against ourselves. Because if you inside the hood, Smoke, right, and you make it out through college. Let's say you in the hood, right? Let's say your parents in the hood, right? You was raised up in the hood and shit. Your parents in the hood, they got their own house, though, in the hood, right? Now, you got a fucking job making $500,000 a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you want to move your parents out of the hood?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Everything about our culture is getting out. If you got a good paying job, anything, paying job, high education, everything is about to get out the hood. Because we our shit is to leave. We don't want to be around each other. So when we have this ideology that we're supposed to be assimilated into a system, you're never going to have that dominating mentality because you can't dominate as a one. That's why we keep saying, if we just came together, but it's not about coming together. You can't come together without glue. You see what I'm saying? You can't come together without glue. Black people is the only race of people that's strong as individuals. So we're rocks. We're hard, strong rocks as individuals. But we can't come together because there's no glue. The glue is the economy. And I'm going to keep telling y'all that. The glue is the economy. Let me use Master P. Master P and the brother that makes the Rap Snack chips. Now, this brother here has factories, and he's hiring black people, and these black people now is taking care of their family. Now, these kids now get older, and they're going to school because their parents is telling them, this is what the fuck you're going to do. There is no choice you have. You're getting into engineering or technology or some shit like that, right, or business or whatever like that, right? And you're just focusing them all into that, and then we all doing that part as a unit, pushing our kids into a degree or into a lane that's high paid, but it's also something that's going to benefit the black community. Then you end up doing that shit. And now you have people here whose black children that's growing up in this generation that's strong-minded, black-centered, and black-educated. So now these are people that's now like, all right, bet, I'm an engineer, and I'm developing these buildings and shit like that. And you know what I want to do? I want to open up something in this part of fucking Atlanta, this part of Detroit or whatever. I just want to go over here and just fucking redevelop that whole area right there. So the property and land over there probably going to cost about this amount right here, so I'm going to go ahead and do that shit, and boom, boom. And that'll help this community over here. You know what I'm saying? And you'll have these type of thoughts, type of plans and shit to work because you're going to see how it's going to benefit black people through the hiring, through the environment, through that control. Because that's the same shit that the damn gays do with their communities, like with the gentrifying their through the gentrification of cities and shit like that and making it gay. You know what I'm saying? Where more gay people are buying properties and shit like that in that area. When they do that shit, they're creating safe havens. So if you're now creating safe black havens where black people can thrive and flourish at, you know what I'm saying? That's how you build blackness into a stronger, dominant position. of think tanking and shit like that. When you got these factories and shit like that that's producing these Kanye West stuff that he want to do, you know what I'm saying? When you, when you're having your children growing up into designing and creating fucking different technologies and fucking AIs and all kind of shit and batteries and, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, shit, let me make the fucking electric car type shit. Let me learn how to, you know what I'm saying? When you're instilling these things into your child as a kid and you telling them this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to do, the same way a kid growing up in a drug dealer or a gang-infested community teaches their kids to be gangbangers or drug dealers. You telling your kid, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to be in, and I'm going to make sure you get into it because I'm working with you with this shit. I'm talking with you with this shit. We go into these programs. We go into these different programs or whatever, you know what I'm saying? These different events type shit that focuses on these on these activities like technology type shit. So you can do it, right? And now you got these kids with this technology from the hood with this information and can do something with it. Where now we're developing, we're making drones, we're developing these different technologies and shit like that, these different things that the world needs right back here in the hood, but we got control. We have a black Silicon Valley, but we have control because we create these safe havens. But these things don't happen because we leave. And then we try to fight what? Racism, which is what? White people's viewpoint of us. While everybody else is fighting to dominate. And that's what the Chinese is doing right now. Right now, they're using all this so-called anti-Asian shit to connect the Asians in the diaspora through blood so they can be nationalized for China. And that is our show, people. That is the show. And then you got to stay smoked.
Nah, it was a pretty good show, you know what I'm saying? I hope we connected the points together, you know what I'm saying? I think so. But, yeah, just really just take it serious. I mean, the one thing that I said that I reiterate is don't be a pawn, my nigga. It doesn't matter the chess pieces to be other than the damn pawn. So don't be a sucker to this shit going on. It's narrative. Stay sharp out here. Get that.
Word up. And you know how I do. Peace.